mentioned peanut butter. Let me be the first. I'm left to ponder a thought of George Washington Carver's. Carver never thought of patenting peanut products because he believed all food was a gift from God. Even a lapsed Episcopalian such as myself can agree. Gratitude is oversold these days, and I'm sure it's just a matter of time before an opportunistic guru seeks the official patent for gratitude. Until that time comes, I stand with Carver and Kellogg, Edson and Straub, Rosefield, and the entire Aztec nation. For helping me in times of sorrow, to the peanut, I bow down.
The novelist Alice Sebold presented tonight's essay, and you can catch up on all of these talks from authors based in America on their favourite comfort foods via the Radio 3 website, bbc.co.uk/radio3. The essay this week was produced by Judith Kampfner and is a Corporation for Independent Media production for BBC Radio 3. Well, a change of subject next week. The five essays from Monday to Friday will be asking, why poverty? The first of those is on Monday night at 10:45. Now, the Oscar Wilde expert Thomas Wright has spent several years examining the books that were auctioned off for next to nothing from Wilde's personal library after his dramatic fall from grace at the end of the 19th century. He found many of them in private and public collections in the UK and set about trying to construct a bookshelf biography telling the story of Wilde's life and literary career through the books he read. But many of them were in much further flung corners of the world, and in this week's Sunday feature, Thomas Wright goes in search of Wilde's West Coast collection in the United States. That's Sunday night at 7:45. This is BBC Radio 3. It's 11 o'clock now, and time for World on 3 with Mary-Anne Kennedy.
Solo ko, alufoni sereni bete be mogola ko mafu. Bangalila ani fanta sama ke fanta bangali olula sege make fudi bangali yamba ibale dinyara bangali tawole ibora mo melundo iya ya tawole ufrana jonna dire santawole mosa watara singa so duguro olukela duwa uyi bangali ni tumutu fode Bangali e barala Chewule biranke Aleli nara Bune musuluta kamere yana kitakono Adiana mogomi e bangali e barala Chuta tunyana sabali ni kene graba Lanna ya mogolu doyara Mote la mogobela gwansa Nekilon jonfe jono sabu Saniya fo sabunuma donin kunadi alukanya keba mima muribo konde jara bangali kaya kamara musuke kana sabunuma di woro bangali tarawale senkula ni tuna tikite kelendi amara jigi kenondi angana jigi tinonde Ne kanye kemina mutari do keleko ne kanye kemina idirisa koroleko ne kanye kemina kajatu lagare koroke berele futo segu yele wolo dunya barala jatila kola padu funisere dunya ife Kajatu jarado kele bangali Aisha tabunike bangali Yaya bangali kuyarofa bangali
What a beautiful start to tonight's show. Guinea's number one singer, Sekou Bambino, from a new album recorded for Starnes called, appropriately enough for a musician who takes his artistic heritage very seriously, The Griot's Craft. It's a more stripped back sound than we've heard from him before, or I suppose more traditional, since stripped back still means a cast list of 15 musicians for him. Welcome to World on Three with me, Marianne Kennedy. I'll be joined later on tonight by the American Armenian oud player Ara Dinkjan, visiting the London Jazz Festival. I'll also have new music from songwriter Anais Mitchell with the fruits of her Child Ballads project. And it's sadly also a night of several farewells. That's all later on, though. We're staying abreast of current events first, and with China having announced a new leader. It's interesting to see that Xi Jinping's wife, the new First Lady of China, is already a household name as a well-respected singer. I'm not sure how much that's going to play in her new role, but here's Peng Liwan with a song which was written in the early days of the People's Republic, the heroic acts of Sister Coral helping her ailing father and assisting the People's Liberation Army to victory into the bargain. from China's first lady to an inspirational singer who fled Chinese occupation. First, we heard Peng Li Wan and the Ode to Coral, and that was followed by the Tibetan singer Sonami from her album Natural Mind, encouraging us to seek and nourish the spirit within rather than doing the grass is greener thing. Sonami is also well known for her autobiography Child of Tibet, telling her story and that of many thousands of Tibetans making the arduous journey of escape over the Himalayas to northern India. She's since moved to the West, now based in Germany, but her energies are still constantly directed to her people and to her lost homeland. Looking ahead to the beginning of the year, and World on Three will be visiting Celtic Connections on the three big Fridays of the festival, with the usual embarrassment of musical riches on offer. Amongst the new voices appearing at the festival this year are the young Newfoundlanders, the Dardanelles, making their first ever foray as a band to this side of the Atlantic. Their current album bears the classy production hallmark of one of the Irish-American scene's great stars, John Doyle. But it is a case of style and content, as you can hear from the opening track on their album Eastern Light. This is McCarthy's.
A good few people heard this one before. It's called The Sick Note, or Why Paddy's Not at Work Today. Dear sir, I write this note to you to tell you of me plight, and at the time of writing I am not a pretty sight. Me body is all black and blue, me face deathly grey, and I write this note to say why Paddy's not at work today. While working on the 14th floor, some bricks I had to clear. Now to throw them down from such a height, it was not a good idea. The foreman wasn't very pleased, he being an awkward sod. He said I'd have to take them down the ladders in me hod. Now clearing all these bricks by hand, it was so very slow. So I hoisted up a barrel and secured the rope below. But in me haste to do the job, I was too blind to see that a barrel full of building bricks was heavier than me. So when I untied the rope, the barrel fell like lead. And clinging tightly to the rope, I started up instead. Well, I shot up like a rocket, till to my dismay I found that halfway up I met the bloody barrel coming down. Well, the barrel broke me shoulder as to the ground it sped. And when I reached the top, I banged the pulley with me head. Well, I clung on tight, though numbed with shock from this almighty blow. And the barrel spilled out half the bricks 14 floors below. Now, when these bricks had fallen from the barrel to the floor, I then outweighed the barrel and so started down once more. Still clinging tightly to the rope, I sped towards the ground, and I landed on the broken bricks that were all scattered round. Woo! I lay there groaning on the ground. I thought I'd passed the worst, when the barrel hit the pulley wheel and then the bottom burst. Well, a shower of bricks rained down on me. I hadn't got a hope. As I lay there moaning on the ground, I let go the bloody rope. The barrel then being heavier, it started down once more and landed right across me as I lay upon the floor. Well, it broke three ribs and my left arm, and I can only say that I hope you understand why Paddy's not at work today.
That is absolutely irresistible. The man who first popularised the songs of Limerick-born Pat Cooksey, having met him at Ewan McCall's Singers Club in the 60s. Pat's Sick Note, as it was originally called, is actually an adaptation of an old music hall turn, and it's been recorded many, many times by the likes of Christy Moore and the Corries, but that was the original and best. Sean Cannon from the Dubliners, and it comes from a new compilation celebrating the band's 50th anniversary, with everything from Seven Drunken Nights to their Top of the Pop sensation with the Pogues, the Wild Rover, of course. You're listening to Marianne Kennedy and World on 3 here on BBC Radio 3. And it's time to introduce my session guest tonight, the Armenian-American oud player Ara Dinkjan, here in the UK for the London Jazz Festival. He's joined in the studio by his quartet, and they're going to start out with a piece that sums up a big part of Ara's identity as an Armenian in America. This is Meeting My Past. Thank you. That was Ara Dinkjian and his quartet playing Meeting My Past, our live session guests tonight here on World on 3, as they've been making a flying visit to the London Jazz Festival. Ara, it's lovely to have you here.
It's great to be here. Thank
and
you.
And that was such a serene start to the session. And just looking at the album, it's the opening track on the album, and listening to that here, it's obvious that you, although you're born and brought up in the States, that you have a very close connection with your past. This is Meeting My Past.
Yes, that's exactly it. That piece came to me after I took my father to the villages of his parents, which is in eastern Turkey. We're Armenians, originally from the Anatolia region, and at the age of 80, my father, never having been there, but always identifying himself as from there, I said, "Dad, we're going. We have to go. We have to see."
So he had never been?
No, he had never been there. His parents were born there and fled. And both my parents were born in France, but met in the States, got married in the States where I was born. So, of course, that trip to Dikranagert, or as it's known in Turkish, Diyarbakir, was probably the most meaningful trip for us.
Were there any family connections still back there?
There are literally two Armenians in the entire city left, an elderly couple. Otherwise, no, there are no Armenians. But nonetheless, as you could imagine, it was a very meaningful trip. And this piece, Meeting My Past, came to me upon returning and reflecting on that trip.
Tell me a little more about your father being over there and how he reacted.
Well, you know, my father is a very famous Armenian folk singer, and he is my greatest influence. But to bring him there to see physically the stories that he heard from his parents about the Great Wall in Diyarbakir, or that the streets are so narrow you can walk and touch both walls at one time, and just a million and one stories that were kind of myths in his mind. During that trip, I stayed three or four steps behind him because I wanted him to make those first discoveries, and I was kind of witnessing him witness all these things. And so for each of us in a different way, it was a very profound trip.
So these myths were in a way becoming reality.
Yeah, you know, I can give you an example. My grandfather had told my father that, yes, the wall of Diyarbakir is so large that we used to play ball on the wall. So my father said, "Oh, you mean you'd throw the ball against the wall?" "No, no, no," he'd say. "On top of the wall, we would play ball." "Dad, how could a wall be that wide?" "I'm telling you, it was that wide. You don't believe it." Well, you know what? It's the second largest man-made wall in the world, only after the Great Wall of China. And indeed, we went up that wall, and it was as wide as a football pitch. And that's just one of many examples of how those myths were turned into reality for us.
You weren't tempted to have a kickabout, no?
Oh, I wish I had a ball. I would have done it, absolutely.
You've also recorded with your father. Obviously, you've been brought up with music around you, but I'm intrigued, being someone who comes from a family where music is very much part of how everybody operates together. What's it like for you making music with your father?
Well, first of all, I've never known anything else. I was literally 5 years old and playing the hand drum in his band. And I know they had to let me because it's Onig's son, but that's how I learned. And I literally grew up on the stage accompanying my father. And he's, at this point, he's 83 years old. And so help me, he's singing better than ever. We just did a concert last month. Apparently he doesn't realize that you're not supposed to be able to do this. All I can say is the gift that he gave me is a sense of my identity. And once you have that, you know what to do. It doesn't mean it's easy, but at least you're not searching of who am I and what should I be doing. I know who I am, again, thanks to my parents. And specifically to accompany my father is a joy that I think very few people get to experience.
I think we'll talk a little bit about this again, but you have your quartet with you, who are mostly based in Greece, is that right?
Yes, they're all Greek musicians. And, you know, my feeling about that is I'm not specifically looking for Greek musicians. I'm looking for the best musicians. They happen to be from Greece. As a matter of fact, various cultures think I'm Greek or I'm Turkish or I'm, I don't know, this or that. No. No, but these guys are these great musicians and great gentlemen, and it's just a joy to work with them.
Well, you have with you in the studio here then Socrates Sinopoulos mm-hmm. on lyra, Vangelis Karipis on percussion, and Yanis Kiridis
good for you.
On piano. I've been practicing.
All right.
We should have some more music from the four of you just now. Tell me about this next piece.
Well, this next piece is called Kef Life. Kef means party time. So it's a little more upbeat.
Excellent.
Great.
Thank you.
Kef life and a great party picture of Ara's uncle and pals playing in New Jersey years and years ago, illustrating that track on the album version of that piece. But that was a live studio version for us here on World on 3, Ara Dingshan and his quartet. And they'll be back in a little while. You're listening to Mary-Anne Kennedy here on BBC Radio 3. And it's sadly been a bad month for farewells, with the loss of several influential and highly respected musicians and singers. Amongst them, two very fine Scots, the fiddler-composer Ian Hardy and songwriter Michael Marra, gentlemen both. They were probably not as well known as they should have been, although it's been wonderful to see so many eloquent and heartfelt tributes to Mr. Marra especially. But Ian commanded an important place in the Scottish musical world as well. A modest, generous, witty soul, he was a member of the seminal folk band Jock Tamson's Bairns and was admired as a great composer of fiddle music, much of it inspired by his adopted Nairnshire home. He grappled with the concept of the fiddle pibroch, which adapted the classical music of the great Highland bagpipe to his own instrument. And most recently, he was fascinated by the old-time music of the Appalachians. The result was his final album, West Ringing, a reintroduction of distant cousins in the musics of highlands on either side of the Atlantic, and moulded by Ian to create something of substance. Much missed, Charic.
Thank you. five eventful years seem to me now. And all but one are friendly, a ghost of gladness by my side. With horse and plow I marched with pride of the purest kind. In a blink of light and this Flanders field and the end of time. Through the flash and cannon's roar I saw my Christine's smiling eyes. And with no more thought of blood or shell I made my way to hold her near. But truth and honor's henchmen found me leaving here. A madman's rave and a coward's grave for the volunteer. And in his eyes flew snipe and curlew, and in his nose blew moistened air. And in his mind who wooed the king stole, that robbed the land and laid it bare. But in his heart his lover's memory singing on their wedding night, where once the parks flowed thick with corn, that sullen tune was with him now. Happed in mist, the king's own rifles ready aim. The floor's all the forest. Are we away?
Michael Mara's classic anti-war song based on the story of Ewan Tavendale in Lewis Grassic Gibbon's Sunset Song trilogy. It originally appeared on his 1992 album Gales Blue, and it's since been covered by the likes of June Tabor. Michael, as some of you will know, died very recently and unexpectedly, and the outpouring of tributes from fans and fellow musicians and artists alike showed what a vital role he'd played in Scotland's psyche, even though he was relatively unknown beyond her borders. He was never showy, quietly listening, able to sum up his thoughts and perspectives in the most exquisitely honed lyric intoned in that unique gravel voice. It was a real privilege to be able to invite him up to Ardgour for that special Hogmanay edition of World on Three a couple of years ago, and we will be revisiting that session at the turn of the year to remember a very special man. Lastly, to sum up the farewells, another very much unsung musical hero who skirted the borders between jazz, folk and soul, and who grew up in North Chicago, brought up on his mother's records of Ella Fitzgerald and Billie Holiday, and cutting his own musical teeth amongst contemporaries who included Ramsey Lewis and another soaring tenor voice, Curtis Mayfield. I encountered Terry Callier's music in the 90s when he was rediscovered and championed by the UK acid jazz world, and it was above all his mellifluous sweet voice that had me hooked. A sore irony that he should have succumbed to throat cancer then. Here he is with one of his classic tracks, All 9 Minutes of Gloriousness and Dancing Girl.
Sources of light seem so near, yet so far. I thought I was in flight, out where the planets are, moving between day and night. Here am I, and there. Dancing girl, a vision in amber lace, such an entrancing girl, she moves with such rhythm and grace. Who can she be? Follow the dancing girl, go to a quiet place in the weary world, somewhere between time and space. We shall be each of us is born alone. Well, welcome to the twilight zone. You can leave with only what you bring. Things we cannot see appear, singing songs we cannot hear. And everything is surely everything. And meanwhile in the ghettos, dust and gloom, bird is blowing in his room. See, all those notes won't take the pain away. And man, you'll surely come to home with that needle all up in your arm. And dope will never turn. Just a little further down the line, baby sister hits these streets at night. Say the wind blows chilly, and little Willie needs new shoes. So just tell her, say tell her what you want. Said, tell her what you wanna do. Boogie, bop, a boogaloo. Tell her what you wanna do. Boogie, bop, a boogaloo. I said, tell her
tell her what you wanna do. Boogie, bop, a boogaloo. I saw a dream last night, bright like a falling star, and the sources of light seem so near, yet so far.
Terry Callier's Dancing Girl, one of the songs that brought him back into the spotlight for a while, although again, perhaps never quite as famous as he deserved to be. You're listening to Marianne Kennedy and World on Three. Tonight's guests, Ara Dingchan and his quartet, will be joining us again shortly. But first, something from the new release from the feisty Finnish ladies of Vartana. The new album's called Utu, and this song sounds like something of a calling card for the band. We're not just here for the taking. We won't make good wives. We go out into the world to make our music. Fire is gushing from our mouths, hot embers from our tongues.
Mas is on the stage. Awake, you drowsy sleeper. Awake, awake, it is almost day. Awake, you drowsy sleeper. It's almost day. Awake, you drowsy sleeper. Oh, you have stole my heart away. Awake, you cruel creature. Oh, hush, make not a sound, or you will wake my mother. No songs of love she'll let me hear. So go and court another. Just there she lies in natural rest, and swears she'll kill my lover. She has a dagger in her hand, I beg you not to whisper. Oh, hush, make not a sound, or you will wake my mother. No songs of love she'll let me hear, so go and court another. Just there she lies in natural rest, and swears she'll kill my lover. She has a dagger in her hand, I beg you not to whisper. I pray you leave and spend your days all in some lonesome valley. I pray you neither sing nor speak until I can be with you. Awake, 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 it's almost day. Awake, you drowsy sleeper. Oh, you have stole my heart away. Awake, you cruel creature.
An intriguing combination of traditional song and technology for this duo from the southwest of England. Sarah Owen and Nick Janoway and their laptops are Solar Ference, and that version of Awake, Awake came from their debut album out on their own label. It's called Lips of Clay. Before that was Vartana from their new release on Rockadillo, and it's called Utu. It's time to welcome back tonight's guests now on World on 3. Ara Dinkjian's band are stepping back for this solo oud number from Ara, Something for the Nighttime, Kishir Bar.
Thank you.
Fabulous stuff, Kishar Bar, perfect music for this time of night here on World on 3. Ara Dingchan playing us music. It is a nighttime dance, I think.
Yes, Kishar Bar means night dance.
We're able to hear the oud playing in all its solo glory there. But tell me a little about the instrument itself, because I believe it came to you by a particular route.
Well, it's pretty funny, actually. Growing up, there was an oud in my parents' bedroom, and I was, I think, about 3 years old, and I was told by my parents that I'm free to go around the house and do anything and touch anything except this particular instrument in the bedroom. I'm not allowed to touch that. Well, I mean, need I say any more? It's the only thing I ever wanted to touch as a result of that. So,
was this reverse psychology, or were they really trying to keep you away?
Well, you know, ever since I learned that lesson, now I have three kids of my own, and I've been telling them, don't you do your studies. You know.
And this particular instrument that you have here, I believe it was actually gifted to you.
Yes, I was in Germany rehearsing for some concerts and staying at a friend's house, and he had a couple of very good Arabic made ouds, which is a different style and sound, and he had this one, which is a Turkish made oud.
And how do they differ?
Well, they differ in ultimately in the sound that they're looking for. The construction is different, dimensions are different, but basically it's a different timbre. Anyway, while I was there, instead of playing my own oud, I was playing his oud, and I fell in love with it. I didn't say anything, but he could tell how much I loved it, and he told me that the oud had been given to him, and he felt karma that he must give it to me, and I protested, you know, I didn't want to take his instrument, and he absolutely insisted, and we went back and forth, and I finally agreed that I would buy it, you know, but I couldn't take it. And so he said, okay, give me $100, you know. And I said, no, it's worth $1,000. I have to give you $1,000. No, okay, give me $200. And I said, no, I won't give you a penny less than $900. So we were kind of negotiating the wrong direction, you know. But it became one of my, favorite ouds, and I'm grateful to him for that.
Growing up, in the States, in New Jersey, was it a close-knit Armenian community, or the dudes that we see in the party photographs in your album, were they scattered? Did you have to find each other to make music?
My life in the States growing up was really built around the Armenian community. As a matter of fact, I learned to speak English when I started going to kindergarten, because in the house we spoke Armenian. We went to Armenian school on Saturdays. We went to Armenian church on Sundays. Indeed, I've been the organist since I'm 13 at the Armenian church, so I'm on my 40th year as the organist there. And all our social activities were based on the Armenian community.
And how then did your music evolve beyond that community and start to absorb other influences?
Well, first of all, I'm not saying this because I'm in London, but I grew up a Beatlemaniac. Obviously, you know, you're in America, and those sounds are part of your life and continue to be. So my own feeling is, had I denied my ethnic cultural roots in myself or my music, I would be being dishonest. But by the same token, had I ignored the fact that I'm from America, that would be equally dishonest. So my music, my compositions, to various different degrees, have elements of both. To put it simply, I'm trying to marry the ancient Middle Eastern modes with the microtones and the odd time signatures and instrumentation with a Western sense of harmony.
And the Armenian community, when they encountered you, as your music developed and evolved, was it something that your immediate audience welcomed?
I'm going to be quite blunt about this, and that is that the music is not for the Armenian community. As a matter of fact, as much as I'm obviously proud to be Armenian, the music is really about something else. And what it's about is that it's trying to remind us of what we share as humans. What I mean by that is that I think so many of the world's problems are rooted in either religious or nationalistic fanaticism. And music, not my music, but music in general, unites people instead of defining or dividing them. And indeed, my songs at last count have been recorded in 13 different languages, and you know some of those cultures are political or historic enemies, and yet here they are singing the same song. That's what it's about. So it's not for the Armenian community, it's for the human community.
Well, it's kind of appropriate then that the last piece that you're going to play with the quartet is an offering.
That's exactly right.
It's and called a connection with your maternal grandparents this time, I think.
Yes, actually, this piece... I seem so many things are melancholy, but my grandmother was dying, and I felt helpless, and I didn't know what I could do. And this song came to me, and I'm grateful that I had the opportunity to play it for her at her bedside. It was my loving offering to her.
Ara, thank you so much for coming to share this with us.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks so much to Ara Dinkjan and friends. They've been over taking part in the London Jazz Festival, and you can also hear the great Ethiopian jazz maestro Mulatu Astatke at the festival here on BBC Radio 3 this Sunday the 25th on a World Roots special. You're listening to Marianne Kennedy and World on 3, and I'm going to return to Nairnshire and to another fiddler from a younger generation this time than Ian Hardy. Mike Vass is the eldest of a musical family, best known for his work with twin sister Ali, and also as a member of the award-winning Scottish folk band Malinky. Last winter, though, he set about a completely solo endeavour, writing, playing all the parts of and recording an album during the month of December, responding to the days, the weather and the events surrounding him over those 4.5 weeks. The end result was December Well, released in time for this December, and here's the closing track, Lights Out. Thank you. Mike Vass's Lights Out setting the scene for the original venue for the writing and telling of this song, a winter setting in an old turf house in Iceland, and that by the band Brothergrass, a chilling kind of Icelandic tam o' shanter, I suppose, as a father races for home and the Christmas hearth, desperately trying to outrun the dreadful Torjarsbolli. Also, says Hildur from the band, it's a kind of metaphor for personal and national life. Sometimes it's good to feel fear and understand when you have it good. That was a sneak preview from Brothergrass's new Christmas album. I know it's a wee bit early, but I couldn't resist, and it is good to see them going for an all Icelandic language recording for this new release. This next release has a strange pedigree, indeed, if the information accompanying it is to be believed. Jay Sjogren and Shanghaied is the Americana alter ego of a professor of philosophy who served his time as special advisor to the King of Sweden and shared in Al Gore's Climate Change Nobel Prize. Here, though, the Wyoming side of his life indulges his passion for old-time blues and early 20th century dancehall, reimagined through a contemporary filter.
Dressed down in Mexico, I looked like a blood red angel. You found her, I found you. Yes, I'm sure she was just your friend. As the blood runs through my eyes again, tell me you've been dreaming, dreaming of a shady tree. And tell me there's peace in sleeping, and sleep will come to me.
push that thought of her inside my mind. Hit that pain down far within. I'm steaming down that old river. I'm steaming down to New Orleans. I'm steaming down.
From Swedish Americana to Californian old time. First up there was Jason Shogren and Shanghaied with Curry from the album God Bless Those Crooked Little Songs. And that was followed by the Old Tire Swingers, a West Coast trio from Fresno, California. And that was 1838 from their debut release on their own label. This next new release, though, comes from a veteran, one of Brazil's finest singer-songwriters, Vinicius Cantuária. Indio de Apartamento is written in memory of his mother, who died last year, and it continues long-term musical relationships with folk like Bill Frisell and Ryuichi Sakamoto, as well as enlisting guest contributions from the likes of Norah Jones. It's a rare and beautiful-sounding thing altogether, as you'll hear from this track, I hope, Puris.
As águas cor de barro desse rio mar, com tanta vida e riqueza nos oferecer, devemos só compreender. A nos permitir a navegar e nos alimentar, nos ensinou, nos proteger. As castanheiras e os seringais,
as mil lagoas e os igarapés. Vi tantas coisas, ouvi tantos sons. E olhei muito para o céu. Olha o rio correndo para o mar. Olha o mar correndo para o rio. Olha o rio correndo para o mar. Olha o mar correndo para o rio. Purus,
we'll be right back.
Vinicius Cantuario is followed there by some vintage Peruvian delights, Juaneco y su Combo with La Cumbia del Pacuro, and it's released on a new label, Tiger's Milk, a collaboration between world music aficionado Duncan Ballantyne and Anglo-Peruvian Martin Morales. More to come from them, I think, in the coming months. Thanks to all in the studio tonight, to the Ara Dinkchan Quartet and Roger Short producing. I'm Marianne Kennedy and you've been listening to World on 3. Last up is a project that we heard about earlier in the year when Vermont singer Anais Mitchell was in session with us. At the time, she was exploring the American manifestations of the British folk song canon collected as the Child Ballads. And here, with her co-conspirator, Jefferson Hamer, is Anais with the results of those endeavours. I leave you then with Willie's Lady, or Child Six. Good night.
He's wooed a wife, and he's brought her home. He's brought her home all against his mother's will. His mother wrought her a wicked spell, and a wicked spell she's laid on her. She'd be with child for long, and many's the year, but the child she would never bear. And in her bower she lies in pain. King Willie by her bedside even stands. Down his cheeks saw the tears to run. King Willie back to his mother he did run, and he's gone there as a begging son. Says, my true love has this fine noble steed, the likes of which you have never seen. And at every part of his horse's mane, there's hanging 50 silver bells and 10, hanging 50 bells and 10. This goodly gift shall be your own, if back to my own true love you'll turn again, so she might bear her baby son. Oh, of the child she'll never lie to me, nor from my curse will she e'er be free. But she will die, and she will turn to clay, and he will wed with another maid. And sighing says this weary man, as back to his own true love he's gone again, I wish my life was at the end. He did run, and he's gone there as a begging son. Says, my true love has this fine golden girdle set with jewels all about the middle, and at every part of this girdle's hem there's hanging 50 silver bells and 10, hanging 50 bells and 10. This goodly gift shall be your own, if back to my own true love you'll turn again, so she might bear her baby son. Oh, of the child she'll never lie to be, nor from my curse will she e'er be free. But she will die, and she will turn to clay, and we will wed with another maid. And sighing says this weary man, as back to his own true love he's gone again, I wish my life was at an end. And up and spoke his noble queen, and she has told King Willie of a plan, how she might bear her baby son. Says you must go get you down to the marketplace, and you must buy a ball of wax, and you must shape it as a babe that is to nurse, and you must make it. eyes of glass and ask your mother to the christening day. And you must stand there close as you can be, so you might hear what she does say. King Willie, he's gone down to the marketplace. He has bought a ball of wax, and he has shaped it as a babe that is to nurse. And he has made two eyes of glass. He asked his mother to the christening day, and he has stood there close as he could be, so he might hear what she does say. And how she spat and how she swore. She spied the babe where no babe could be before. She spied the babe where none could be before. Says, who was it who undid the nine witch knots braided in amongst this lady's locks? And who was it who the leather shoe untied from the left foot of his wedding ride? And who was it split the silken thread? The spider stretched all beneath this lady's bed. The spider stretched all beneath her bed. And it was Willie who undid the nine witch knots braided in amongst this lady's locks. Untied from the left foot of his wedded bride. And it was Willie's with the silken thread. The spider stretched all beneath this lady's bed. The spider stretched all beneath her bed. And she has borne him a baby son. And great are the blessings that be them upon. Great are the blessings them upon.
There can't be many more serious Bach pieces than his last collection, The Art of Fugue. Serious and mysterious. What did he write the fugues for? Teaching, playing, or as a kind of private problem-solving? Well, that's the music which leads the way through the night here on Radio 3 this morning. Hello, and a warm welcome from me, Susan Sharp. The Art of Fugue was to be Bach's last words on the subject. And in fact, it looks as if he died before he could finish the last fugue in the collection. And the performers here, the Akademie für Alte Musik Berlin, are playing that final fugue exactly as Bach left it. And with the additional opening chorus from Cantata No. 38, Aus tiefer Not schrei ich zu dir.